workshop. Today is the first of a series of three teachings on how to be an overcomer in your prayer life. Prayer is not something very complex, it's just talking to God. And as you go on in your Christian life, you will probably hear teachings on prayer from various areas and various aspects. And the key is to not be locked in, because sometimes when people receive instruction from God, they think that everybody should do this. Everybody should do it this way. But it's important that as we hear that, we let the Holy Spirit teach us and instruct us that, yeah, this is something good that you should add to your prayer time. And so you take what is applicable to you. And so what you cannot use at this time, just set it on the shelf until some other time. At this conference, we don't want anybody to feel like they're put in bondage, that if you don't do it this way, then perhaps you're not praying right. Because prayer is just conversation with God. We can pray and just talk to God, and God is very pleased that we come to Him. He wants us to come to Him with everything. Not just critical situations, not just with crucial situations. There's those who teach about practicing the presence of God, holding conversations with God all throughout the day like He is your invisible friend. This conference, this workshop, is for new Christians, new believers. You could have been just saved this morning, and you will get a lot out of it, and it will not be too difficult for you. Or you could have been in the church and saved for 50 years, and you will also get a lot out of this. And this, I believe, is God's desire to acquaint His people with both prayer and also with His Word. Because in the third workshop, we are going to take an overview of the entire Bible. And you will know more than probably 90 to 95% of the body of Christ. And we will share with you how when you go through the Bible in a year, when you make a regular habit of studying the Word and reading the Word of God, then God can talk to you about your situations, and He can speak to you through the Bible, through the Scriptures. And what we're going to cover today in this first workshop, which is entitled Structuring Your Morning Prayer, Devotion, and Bible Reading, we will share with you different areas of prayer. We'll look at the book of Acts, we'll look at the life of Jesus, and to see how prayer was an integral part of His life. And what we will do also is go through some examples in you've got handouts. Handout about enhancing your prayer life and praying around the world and back home again, how God instructed me to start a prayer notebook. And so I started that notebook and started collecting things and praying for different areas. And for a period of time, He would have me use that outline. And so right now, what we're going to share today is about an accumulation of 7 years of teaching as the Holy Spirit has taught me on prayer and has taught me from the Word. And there's a law that I want to share with you, and I call it the law of progressive possession. That what's important for us in the law of progressive possession is that when God gives you a truth to apply to your life, He wants you to lay hold on it, and He wants you to, over time, continue to add to that truth and to build upon that truth. And so in the area of prayer, I've applied this law of progressive possession, and that in the beginning, when God called my husband to tell me to start the prayer ministry at Living Word, I think it may have been late 92 or 93, I did not know a whole lot about how to do that, but I was willing and open for God to teach me. And so over the years, He has taught me various things because I've remained focused to go ahead and add to line upon line and precept upon precept. And so that should be in whatever area that you feel God is calling you to, find something to concentrate on and find something to add to, and that you will find that as you master that, that the Word of God, the wisdom of God will elevate you and will promote you so that you're able to minister and impart that to others. We're going to go through a few scriptures. Let's turn to Psalm. I'm going to go very fast today, so don't try to write everything down. Get the tape. I will warn you ahead of time, we will cover a lot of material today. And this is an advertisement to have some morning prayer. We're going to see through the scriptures about having morning prayer. In Psalm 5 and verse 3, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." So when we want to know the will of God, we can go to the Word of God, and we know the Word of God says that it's a good thing to pray in the morning. Amen? In Proverbs 8:17, wisdom is speaking. Wisdom is the Word of God. And wisdom says, "Those that seek me early will find me." So God, when we need wisdom from God, God promises if we seek Him early, we'll find Him. Let's not wait until tragedy hits your life. Let's decide to live by the Word of God. Let's seek the Word of God first and seek Him first, so that when those storms of life try to come and try to topple our houses over, we will be ready and we will be prepared. Mark 1:35 says that, let's turn to that, Mark 1:35. And let's look at Jesus. Mark 1:35 says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he, Jesus, went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Mark 1:35, Jesus rose a great while before day. So we know that Jesus had a habit of praying in the morning. Now, I know some of you may have a challenge in the morning because your body wants to sleep more. Amen? And what I tell my son, I said, "David, if you can't get up in the morning, simple, go to bed earlier at night." And I'm talking to myself also. But it's very important. It's very important for us to spend time in the morning and pray. 1 Thessalonians 17 says, "Pray without ceasing." So it's not just the morning, but we should always pray. Luke 18:1 says, "We should men ought always to pray and not to faint." So if you're experiencing challenges in your life, God is saying, hey, if you don't want to faint, but if you want to come out a victor, spend time in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, when it speaks of the armor of God, and it says, "Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." So we're not just to pray for ourselves, we're to pray for the entire body of Christ. Now turn to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to see that when God's people pray, supernatural things happen. And if we want the hand of God directly upon our lives, if we will give ourselves to prayer, and this isn't praying for hours and hours and hours. This is just, I believe God would have us, number one, to develop faithfulness in regularly having a prayer time. I believe that's even a greater challenge than how to pray, is setting a regular time every day to pray and study our word. And so even if you start with 15 minutes, that is wonderful and glorious, and the angels are jumping up and down in heaven because they will finally be able to help you and to be able to send out to do some things, because they know that you will be there every day to speak God's word and to send them out. And so just make a regular habit of that. Now here we will see Zacharias, who was, let's turn Luke 1:5. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years." Now here it says that they were both righteous. They were walking in all the commandments and ordinances of God. They were blameless. Now we know Deuteronomy 28:1-2 says that if we hearken diligently, if we keep God's commandments, all the blessings will come upon us and overtake us. And we know that one of the blessings of the covenant is that there will not be any barren among us. But they were living according to the word, but they did not have a child. See, just because we are walking in the word doesn't mean automatically all these blessings are going to come upon you. But somewhere there might be a hindrance, and we need to apply our faith. We need to target our faith. We need to find a promise of God, and we need to bring that in with our faith. We need to make that a reality in our lives. Verse 8, "And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord." And incense represents prayer. Verse 10, "And the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense." So we know Zacharias was a man of prayer. And not only he prayed, but he taught a whole multitude of people to pray. Now some have said that he was praying for a son, John the Baptist. But as I read the scriptures, I don't believe he was praying for a son, because when God finally told him one was coming, he wouldn't believe it. I believe, and we're going to see through the scriptures, that what they were praying for is the Jews were under Roman oppression. They were no longer a nation. The Romans had taken over Jerusalem. The Romans had taken over, and they were tired of being oppressed, and they were praying. And we will see this, whether it be through Elizabeth speaking, through Mary speaking, that they were tired of this oppression, and they knew that they were covenant people and that they had a right to better, for better. And I believe when God wants to move in the earth, he will move upon the hearts of his people to pray. He will plant a seed. He will plant a desire in our hearts. And now that we know that we are in the end of the end times, God is placing a desire in your hearts. Before Jesus comes, you don't want to have your work undone. And as we heard that message that Creflo Dollar brought, I don't want Jesus to come back knowing that he has put some things in my heart to do and I have not acted on them. I have let the cares of this world hinder me from fulfilling God's purpose and plan in my life. And I won't do it. And so I want to encourage you that as God has placed those things in your heart, press. And the first place you press is in the place of prayer. And we're going to show you that later on. So he had a multitude of people praying. Verse 11, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of the incense. Skip down to verse 13. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness at his birth. Verse 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am old man and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto them, I am Gabriel and stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb. He shut his mouth because God wanted to work a work. Now, there was a custom of prayer. Verse 9 says, according to the custom of the priest's office. So they had a custom of prayer. And what we need to do is make prayer a custom. So that's the first custom that we need to apply. In Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, let's turn. Keep your hand on Luke. We're coming back to Luke. We're going to see a man of prayer and how when God wanted to get the gospel to the Gentiles, up to this point, they were only preaching the gospel to the Jews, but not to any non-Jews. And when God was looking, he found a man of prayer. Acts 10, verses 1 and 2. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. God found a giver, and he found a prayer. When God wants to do mighty things in the earth, if you're a prayer, God will come by your house, and he will allow you the privilege of being in on the mighty things that he will do. We know from the Psalms, David wrote many of the Psalms, not all of the Psalms. But as we look in the book of Psalms, we see snapshots of the life of a man who loved God with all of his heart, who had a passion for God. He was not a perfect man. He did fall and he did sin, but even as you read his Psalms, he talks about destroy my enemies, wipe them out, Lord. And sometimes we want to pray some of those scriptures for some of those enemies, but we should not. Who is the real enemy? Who? Satan is the real enemy. Okay, so we're not praying. God wants us to save him. God says that he delights not in the death of the wicked, but the wicked turn from his wickedness and live. So we don't pray those, you know, against people. But sometimes I'll just declare the scripture and I say, God, you do with it what you want to. And I'll lay it out there. Glory to God. Okay. See, because, you know, we don't want to be praying things against people. But how many of you know that God is long-suffering? But somewhere, if somebody, let me give you an example. Acts, where is that? It was Herod. And again, we know that, yes, Acts chapter 12. See, at this time, the church was a praying church, and we're going to go through. They were such a praying church. Pray, 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 pray. And, you know, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So if we are walking in God's will, God will deal with those who come against us in opposition. If we, the greatest thing is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, is to walk according to the scripture, is not to lash out at people, but to walk in love, to walk according to the word. See, God says, vengeance is mine. If anybody needs to be punished, God will do it. Don't you try to be God and try to execute vengeance upon somebody. But we'll say that again, the Jews, they were being oppressed, but now, let's look what God did to Herod. Herod, you know, could have been like a president, okay? If there's somebody in legal, political authority, and if they're not doing right, God can deal with them. Now let's look at this. I'm not saying anything about the presidency, I'm just saying that he was in a high office. Okay, verse 20. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having, starting verse 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a god and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. When there is a high degree of holiness, means we are walking in God's word. We are separate from the world. We are not filling our lives with a whole bunch of television and movies and all kinds of things. I mean, some of those things are okay, but make sure that you're balanced, okay? That your heart, because if you fill your spirit with all that garbage from the world, your spiritual life will be very, very small. But if we can give focus to the things of God, then we will see that our hearts won't be filled with those things of the world, but it will be filled with the things of God. So God knows how to deal with our enemies. Okay, turning back to Luke. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. Well, no, turn 1. Let's look at Mary. Luke 1:46. Now when the angel came and told Mary that she was going to conceive Jesus, and she said, "Well, be it unto me according to thy word." Now let's look at her response. We know that Mary was a woman of faith. She was a woman of the word. And as she says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord," she started praising God, "and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Now, she could not be praising God. She wasn't reading a prayer. This was in her heart. And so all nations shall call. She must have been confessing that she's blessed. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. 49, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. Holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." So she's believing for covenant blessings, the mercy of God. Verse 51, "He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." See? God told her that the Savior would come through her. And again, talking about the proud, those who were oppressing them. Verse 53, "He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich hath he sent away empty. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." So she saw herself as the seed of Abraham. Glory to God. And so because she was a woman of the word, when God wanted to bring a Savior into the earth, he knew who to look for. Now let's look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 36. "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. So she was about 84 years and she was a widow, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day." And there's a scripture, I forgot the chapter, whether it's in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, that talk about widows and talk about how we should care for the widows and talk about how widows, that they should really be giving their service to the Lord. And, you know, they've got the time, they've got the prayer, they should be praying and spending time before God in service. And verse 38, "And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord." This is when Jesus had been brought in the temple to be dedicated. "Likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. For Anna gave thanks, because the Messiah was born," and she was a woman. She had prayed. She was praying. She's 84 years old. She's praying most of her life. And so God had put in her heart, and I believe that she was able to intercede and to give birth so that God could come to Mary, and so she could conceive and Jesus could be born. Looking up Luke 2:25, talking about Simeon. He was a priest there at the temple. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Well, I don't know if he was a priest, but it says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. See, the Holy Ghost can talk to several people at the same time. See, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And so we see when God wanted to move, that he would have a group of people. Now, in Luke chapter 10 and verse 1, the disciples asked Jesus, please teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. So now we're going to look at prayer in the life of Jesus. Luke 5 and verse 15. And this is when Jesus was ministering and working miracles. Luke 5:15. But so much the more there went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by them of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Luke 6:12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And this was when he would choose the 12 disciples. And so this was something very important, and he really had to hear from his Father on this. So he chose to pray all night. Luke 9:28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these saying, he, Jesus, took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. This is at the Mount of Transfiguration. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. Oh, heavy with sleep. Sleep is probably one of the greatest enemies of prayer. And it, you know, we don't even know if it was early in the morning. I mean, he just took them up there, and here they were supposed to watch and pray, you know, with him, and they were falling asleep. They slept, and they missed the supernatural visitation of God. Hear this. When Jesus comes back, those in the church who are spiritually asleep, they are not going back. You are going to have to stay here in the tribulation. There are many parables. Read in the Gospels. He talks about watch. Because, you know, if the man had known when the man would come and spoil of his house, he would have watched. Yes. We must be watchful. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that day doesn't overtake us as a thief in the night. All right. Next. Where are we? Okay. Luke 21, verse 36. Are you getting an understanding now of the integral part of prayer in the life of Jesus, that Jesus was born out of prayer? Luke 21, verse 36. This is Jesus teaching. Watch ye therefore. Now, what does it mean to watch and pray? Watch means to be watchful. When we're caught up in the affairs of life, you know, going to work, coming home, cooking dinner, going shopping, we can be so caught up in the things of this world that our spirits are not in tune to what is going on. Watch. Be watchful. Don't take time to spend time with God and to ponder and to think and to let the Holy Ghost show you things. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And he was talking about in the end times, the different distresses that are coming upon the earth. And he said, you better pray. You better be people of prayer, glory to God. All right, put the fear of the Lord in us. Okay, Luke 19:46. We are going to learn so much today. Jesus speaking after, well, verse 45, and he went into the temple and began to cast them out that sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. So Jesus said, my house, his church, we are his body, is a house of prayer. Now, why did he say that? Where did this come from? Remember when Solomon built the temple, and we're going to go through that later on today. And many of us know 2 Chronicles 7:14. After Solomon had prayed through chapter 6 and chapter 7, he prayed this long prayer, and this is God's response. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal the land. That was God's response, because Solomon, before all the people, went before God and said, God, we pray, if whenever we stray away, Lord, we'll come back to this temple and we'll pray forgiveness and you'll bless. Father, if there's famine in the land because we've rebelled against you, when we come here, bless. Lord, if we start serving other gods, if we get into all manner of sin, if other enemies start coming against us, we'll know because we've been rebelling against you. And if we come back to this place and we pray and repent, Lord, please hear us and forgive us. I believe that God's church should be open 24 hours a day. There should be a place where God's people can come all the time and pray. There should be, because I believe God will be drawing his people to the place of prayer. Sometimes we want to go to a place where we know the presence of God is. God is everywhere. We know that. We have a special place and we like to pray in the morning. We have our chair. I have a pillow. I bought a pillow. It's not a sleeping pillow. It's a prayer pillow. It's this big pillow. And I squeeze it when I pray. I get on the floor and I pray. I can pray. You can pray a long time. And I lay on it sometimes and I get on my knees and whatever. And so, but some, we have a favorite place where we get, where we just, you know, just me and God. And we need to do that. So, but he said, my house should be called the house of prayer. And so it's the house of prayer, it's a place, you know, God, we want to have a prayer tower for this whole area. A place where people can pray 24 hours. God had placed in my heart that we should have a 24-hour prayer chain in this church. And I'm pregnant with all these things. And even though I'm not able to do them all, but we'll see later on in the teaching, I can draw a confession up, and I can declare that this is a praying church, and I can declare and decree some things. And so that by the time God works out everything in the background, there are people who are just waiting. There are people who God has been talking to pray. There are people who may not want to come out to a weekly prayer meeting, but you're at home and you've got time to pray and you're able to be part of that kind of prayer group. Well, we're going to do this, bless God. We're going to do this in this church, and our teaching you on prayer and intercessory prayer will not be in vain. But we desire, if we know that in Kenyon's church, many, many years ago, he was a minister, that if in his church, they didn't have anybody who died, they didn't have anybody who was sick. How many of you know that? We, in this end times, we can have that same. We can have that same, but we need to seek God with all of our hearts. We need to find out, Lord, what is it? Can I have some water? We need to find out, Lord, what is your pattern? What is your pattern for the church? We want to do exactly what you want us to do, Lord God. Whatever it is, Father, if there's anything in this church we are doing that is not according to your will, Father, just stop it. Just put a wall. We don't want it. We want God's will because we want the supernatural. We don't want people to be hurting. We don't want people to be sick. It's a terrible thing for a child of God to be sick with these illnesses. And we, if anybody should be walking in health, it should be the church. Amen. If anybody should be walking with their needs, but it should be the church. Amen. But not as individuals. We have to come together. We have to help one another. Sometimes one person should not have to be enduring situations where the enemy is trying to beat them up alone. Amen. We should come together. We should have a group of saints that, hey, you know, please help me pray. Help me pray through this thing. There are people whose spouses are not saved. Well, we should come together. We should pray them in. That is one of the most important things in our lives, should be getting our families saved so that they can, you know, come into the kingdom, so we can have peace in our homes, so our children can be protected from the influence of the world. Glory to God. So this is what the church is about, a house of prayer. Let's look at Luke 22:31. And this is Jesus speaking to Peter. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. This is a prayer that I pray sometimes. I say, Father, let not the faith of the saints fail. Strengthen them. And so Jesus, when he saw the enemy about to attack Peter, see, Jesus didn't tell Peter a whole lot of stuff. But he saw it. He saw it coming, and he stayed in prayer. And how many of you know that Peter, when he preached that message on the day of Pentecost, he was the first pastor, preached powerfully, and God used him. See, Peter didn't fall away. But Judas fell away. The enemy was talking to Judas. Judas made a decision. He was one of the disciples, and that he loved the things of this world more than he loved God. And for money, he betrayed Jesus. And he did not know enough. He was sitting under the same teaching as all the other disciples. There are people who can sit in the church and they can hear this thing and they have not yet made a decision to live for God. There are people who have not yet made the decision to walk in the love of God. And they're still abusing their wives. They come up here and they're hypocrites. And I prophesy right now that God is going to deal with you. God is going to deal with those who behind closed doors who have been doing abominable things and have been putting on a face at church. God is going to deal with you. Set it right in the name of Jesus. Okay, Luke 22 and 39. Talking about Jesus. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples followed him. Talking about Jesus. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. In the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus taught them how to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Part of that prayer, and some people use that as an outline for their morning prayer, and we might have a chance to cover that later on. But we're to pray that we not enter into temptation. Now, we know that God does not lead us into temptation, but somehow we need to always be watchful that there are temptations out there, that there are situations out there where the enemy would set up to cause God's people to fall. I have a word for those who are in adultery. Get out of it now. I don't care how your spouse may be acting. If you are in adultery, get out of it now if you want to save your life. God is bringing holiness. He is bringing holiness back to his church. God wants to do, we know in the book of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira, when everybody, they were selling the property and laying the money at the apostles' feet. Well, they lied. Apparently, they had said that they were going to give so much, but they didn't and held it back. And they dropped dead in the service right there. Now, money was not the issue. The issue was obedience to God and walking in holiness and righteousness and truth. Church, if we want the power of God manifest, we have got to walk in this word. We have got to ask the Holy Spirit to show us every area in our lives that is not holy, that is not right. I'm talking to the single people now. Those of you who are in fornication, those of you who are having sex and you are not married, get clean. Okay? Get clean. Cut it off. You can abstain. Ask the Lord. You have seen the saints stand who will pray with you. Ask somebody, say, you know, I'm in this relationship and I need to get out of it, and I need to get out of it now. God loves us so much, and God would have us to know these things, not because he's mad at us. We're at the most wonderful age of the church. God is pouring out such great and wonderful things, but you know, when the glory falls, and if there is sin in the midst of that glory, you can get hurt. The same Holy Ghost fire that purifies can burn up a dirty vessel. Luke 22 and 39. Boy, God is... Okay, we did that. Okay, and this is in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus prayed, and you know he prayed, and you know they fell asleep again, verse 46. Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. All right? So, what God has led me to do, in the morning when I pray, I'd like to get up earlier, but, you know, sometimes I go back and forth, and Lord, forgive me, I'm trying my best, but... but to exercise. I'd like to hold a seminar talking about a lifestyle, and you've got to get that blood flowing. Those aches and pains will start coming, you get over 40, I'm telling you. But you need to keep your body in shape, because when our bodies, see, we got to keep this flesh under. And when flesh doesn't want to do things, you need to do things like get up early and pray. You need to do things like exercise. You need to do things like watching what you eat, not just eating everything and any time and eating late so you can't get up in the morning. We need to discipline this flesh. Glory to God. Okay. Luke 22 and 28. Yes. Jesus speaking to his disciples, saying, "Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations." I don't even know if they knew that Jesus was experiencing temptations, but he dealt with them in the place of prayer. And Luke 24, oh boy, we've got so much more to cover. 49, Jesus told them to tarry. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And so when Jesus had died, he resurrected, and his last instructions were to tarry in Jerusalem. And verse 53 says, "And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Turn to the book of Acts. So Jesus left them praying. He came praying, and he came with them praying, and he left them praying. Acts 1, 4, he said, "Tarry for the promise of my Father." 5, "You shall truly be baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized also with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And we know that when we're baptized with the Holy Ghost, we speak in tongues and all those wonderful things. "And when the Holy Ghost has come upon you," in verse 8, "you'll be witnesses unto me all over." So Jesus is saying, before you can impact the world the way I want you to do it, you need some power, because we need to do it with signs and wonders and miracles. Glory to God. And verse 14, those 120 that were in the upper room says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." My heart's desire is that we of a church can somewhere get to where we're praying in one accord. God has led me to write a prayer book of different prayers where we can pray in one accord. It wasn't quite ready for today, but we'll just have to hold another prayer conference. Amen. So that we as a church, and I'd like to take it to other churches, God has raised up this church to teach and to train up other churches, and we have to start doing that. I'd like to see teams of people who are ambassadors to other churches in Chicago and all over the nation, so that you can be the contact person. So if they want to start a prayer ministry, I'll say, "Hey, send this team. Or help them start a prayer ministry. Show them how to pray. Undergird the pastor. Help them cast out devils and do all those wonderful things if they are not a spiritual church, or if they're a new church, if they need some assistance." Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yeah. Glory. Go get them filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. All right. So we as a team, we need to do that. So they continued in one accord in chapter 2, verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly a sound of a rushing mighty wind came. They're all filled with the Holy Ghost and power." Verse 11, "They spoke in tongues the wonderful works of God." And so that came out of a prayer meeting. And Peter preached that message in verse, they received his word and were baptized. Verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly." Now these are four areas that should be cornerstones in the church. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine," number one, "in fellowship," number two, "and in breaking of bread," number three, "and in prayers," number four. So we have a lot of word in this church. I think we need more in the area of fellowship. We need to do more in the area of breaking bread in the communion and really drawing from what God would have us in there, in that communion. And we have a lot of prayer, but I believe we need to put into operation the things that we've learned in prayer. Now, and let's look at what happens when those four things are really grounded in that church. Verse 43, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily," prayer was daily, "in one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house." So there should be more house meetings. There should be more fellowship in the house. There should be more things where we study the word and commune together and pray with one another in the house. "And they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So in the book of Acts, we can see the pattern of the church. Now, there are so many areas, I'm not going to be able to cover it. But basically, if you look through the book of Acts, Acts 3:1, they had an hour of prayer where they prayed. Acts 4:23, when opposition was coming against them preaching the gospel, they came together in their company or in their group, and they prayed. And they prayed, verse 30, verse 29, 4:29 in Acts, "Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that many signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Okay? So we're supposed to pray for signs and wonders. They won't automatically happen, but we need to pray for these things, glory to God. Okay, now the second custom that we need to put in our lives, one was the custom of prayer, and the second is the custom of the word. And just write this down. In Luke 4, when Jesus read from Isaiah and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," it says, as his custom was, he went to read it. So we need to make a custom of reading the Bible and being in the Word. Now, the whole Bible, what is the whole Bible about? The whole Bible is about God's call to man, God's creation of man, and God's desire to have a relationship and fellowship with man, and man's response to that. If man responded in obedience to God, then he lived a blessed life. If man responded in disobedience to God, curses came upon him. And that's the same pattern that we will see from Genesis to Revelation. We will see that as God wants obedience, and Adam chose to disobey, and so the curse came in, so God looked for another man, looked for Abraham. Abraham chose to obey, and God blessed. And then over time, God's people went into rebellion, went into bondage, and God found another man who said he'd obey, Moses. And so, you know, they go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. They're blessed, things are going good, and they stray away from God, and things are going bad. Okay, next. Oh, glory to Jesus. Okay, we'll stop with that. What I want to cover in the handout, Enhancing Your Prayer Life, there are three general categories of prayer that I put prayer in. Number one is relationship building prayers. That's just when we talk to God to fellowship. We're not necessarily asking him for anything. We're praising him and worshiping him, thanking him, we're singing to him. If we've missed it, we're repenting, we're crying out, "Lord, forgive me." We affirm our trust in God. You know, "Lord, this, you know, I don't understand what's going on, but Lord, I trust in you." So these are things that nurture our relationship. Number two, the prayer petition. When we ask God for things, and God says, "Well, whatever you ask, you know, ask and it shall be given." So these are prayers of petition. When we're asking, and we ask in faith, and we don't have to keep asking, but what we can do is we can write a confession. We can just thank God every day. "Father, I ask you and I thank you and praise you for it. I believe I've received it." And page two, and the prayer of intercession. That's when we pray to God on behalf of someone else. And we've got a lot of teaching on that, so I'm not going to spend any time on that. And sometimes God will have us pray in English, but sometimes we have what we call travail. And sometimes a desire, God will just put something in your heart and you it's like you hurt for them. You pain so much. You want this thing to happen. God may have you travail. You don't even know what you're praying for. But there's an urge. There's a feeling. And you might pray in tongues. You just might groan. They talk about travailing in birth. But there's, you know, there's something that God wants to bring forth. And God says in his word that there's no voice without signification. There's no voice that has no significance. That even when we groan, God knows what it means. And I believe God would have us to do the foolish things to confound the wise, and that it doesn't take a lot of education, formal education, higher education. Some people have come up to me and said, "Well, Veronica, Sister Veronica, I don't know if I can do it. You know, I don't have a lot of education." Wonderful. You are the prime candidate to pray. Because sometimes when people have too much education, they try to take what they've learned there, and they try to take control and make it fit in God. God can use your background, but you have to learn to take hands off and to hear from and to flow with the Holy Spirit, and then God can marry what he's taught you in the past through education, and God can use that. But sometimes when we've learned too much, we rely on that. And when the Holy Ghost wants to move, we're not there because we think we know it all. We know this is the way we do it. You know, I've been taught this way. My professors, you know, these are the ones we respect and they know. Glory to God. Okay, page two, practical tips on prayer. You might want to get a notebook. I have a spiral notebook that I used to take notes in. I learned from Pastor. You know, when you need to write things down. When God puts things on your heart so that you can go back and you can reflect. Many times when we're in the services, God will talk to you and because the heavens are open. The heavens are open. God is ministering to the man of God. You need to listen to the Holy Ghost. And sometimes I get home and I look at all those things and say, "Boy, God was telling me to do a lot of things." And sometimes they might not seem very real to you. because, you know, you're not quite up in the spirit like you were. But if we make a regular time of prayer during the day, get back up in the spirit, then those things will stay alive with us. We talk about in number 4, different ways that you may want to study your Bible. And we're going to cover that later on. Number 5, you may want to study different people and the way they prayed. And the 4th page, different teachings, different books, and just 3 tape series. There are so many tape series out there, but these are ones that have blessed me in the past, and I believe will be a blessing to you. Now, what we're going to do, praying around the world, your other handout, praying around the world and back home again. These are the sections, I believe it was in 1993, that the Lord led me, and this is my prayer notebook. And every now and then this will get too big, so I'll take the key things and I'll start another one. But this is how the Lord led me to pray. And there's a scripture in Timothy, one of the Timothys, that says, first of all, prayers, intercession, supplication, and giving of thanks should be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. And so as we go through the time in prayer, we need to make sure that we're not just praying for ourselves. We need to make sure that we're praying not just for what we want, but for what God wants. And we need to also make sure that, yes, we can have structured prayer, and that's good, so that we can cover things. But then we need unstructured prayer, too. Because the, you know, right brain, left brain, I mean, we sometimes we like to organize and make everything, you know, just so, and so we have our little prayer list and we do. But sometimes, as Suzette would say in her prayer series, she would say, you know, Pastor Bonke would give her a whole list of things to pray, and she'd say, Lord, these are the things that we need to pray about, and she'd read them, and then she'd set the list aside, and then they'd go and pray. So however God would lead you, but don't always have it too structured. Don't always just have in your prayer time, don't just read confessions. It's important to read confessions, but as we're going to see in the handout, God doesn't want you just reading things to Him. He wants to talk to you, and He wants to talk through you. Okay. And so, you know, you read some, and then, you know, you just let Him use you. Okay, now this is my notebook, and I'm going to share in the next few minutes just a few little things that God has given us. Okay, as you see, it has 10 sections, and you can look, number 1, kings and nations, and then we go to the United States. And number 3, Illinois, and I used to live in that suburb. And so I'd pray, you know, for the village I was in. Number 4, the body of Christ. Number 5, pray for Living Word. Number 6, I pray for BWM. Number 7, I pray for the things in the home. Number 8, personal things that I want to happen. Number 9, issues and current events that are happening in the earth. And number 10, prayer requests. Now, what would happen is I would go through this list. I would spend most of my time on number 1 and number 2. Because sometimes you can get in prayer and you forget time. And so you just keep praying, and I wouldn't have time, you know, to pray for my personal things, but it was fun while I was doing it. But in any way, this is just to give you an idea of some, you know, the ways to pray. And in the next pages, it's just an outline that I had used just to say, people say, well, you know, what should I pray for? Just, you know, you might choose one thing. Well, Lord, I'm going to pray for the president today. Or Lord, you know, you just may take any number of things to pray for. Okay, in the next page, page 4, there's a diagram that says, how can I spend time with God? And in the outer circle, I have 6 different areas. People may say, well, what do you do when you pray? What do you do during your prayer time? At the top, the thanksgiving, praise, worship, and in the inner circle, it says, now what that does in your life. That's fellowshipping with God. Going around the circle clockwise. We see confession and prophesying. Prophesying means just decreeing and declaring things. And that's when you just acknowledge God. You acknowledge that God is on the throne. And when we have our prayer time in the morning, it's like it sets the foundation. It sets the course for our day. It acknowledges that Jesus is Lord over my life, and I'm going to put God first. Number 3, Bible study. As we study the Word of God, we understand God. We understand His ways. We understand how He deals with people. Because we can see in the lives of all people, we can see how He dealt with them. At the bottom is scripture memorization in our foundations classes. We encourage people to memorize the Word, but don't stop. As you read through the Bible, God may quicken something to you, or there's something in your life that you're dealing with and that you want God to change in your life. Well, get a scripture and meditate on it and memorize it. So that gets you rooted and established. When we want to change our habit patterns, when we're born again, our spirits are born again, but we need to renew our minds. If as Christians, when we're born again, if we don't renew our minds, we will act just like the world. We just feel a lot more guilty about it. Because we know we belong to God. And we're supposed to be serving God. So So it'll get you rooted and established. Going around meditation and quiet time. Sometimes we just get so busy. Take quiet time. Take time to meditate. Let God minister to you. Sometimes I like to just, when I'm walking, I like walking for exercise. I like the word to rise up from my spirit and to just water me and just minister to me. And I just, you just love those things, and it can do that and give you revelation. And the last part, prayer with understanding, praying in tongues and interpretation. You're a co-worker with God. Now God and you, you're praying his will into the earth. So these are the different things that you do. Now, there are four general things that come against you to keep you from praying, and also to try to hinder you, excuse me, in your walk with God. Number one, the things of the world, whether it be TV, whether it be the values of this world, whether it be the lifestyle, traditions of this world, the activities, the attitudes, the world will try to come in and will try to dilute. Now, you don't have this, you better write it down. Four things, you don't have this in your handout. It's the world. Okay, the world will try to put their image in you so that you will walk according to the world, so that you will promote the enemy's agenda. We don't want to promote the enemy's agenda. We want to promote God's plan. The second, the flesh. Your flesh. Sometimes it's not the devil. It's just your flesh. Tired, hungry, lazy, undisciplined, I don't feel like it. Our spiritual level in God, there is no limit. The only limit is how much time we are willing to spend with God. And how much are we willing to dig for knowledge and wisdom? Are we willing to go to the bookstore and buy a book? Are we willing to ask some of the saints, what is your favorite book? What book has helped change your life? See, people, one good thing that the educational system does is it shows people, if you don't know something, it teaches you how to dig for it until you find it. And we need to learn from that. And that's why people who have had higher education, that's why they have disciplined themselves and they know how to excel at something, because they have learned and they have studied and they have applied that right there. And so that's very important for us. Okay, the third thing is the devil. Yes, the devil does sometimes. Throws temptations. The greatest thing that the enemy comes against us in are mental attacks. Mental thought attacks bombarding us, and we think it's our thoughts. But they're negative thoughts that put a weight, like a 10-pound weight, on every thought to make it a burden to, you know, boy, I loved God yesterday. I was really excited about being in the ministry yesterday. What happened today? Those mental thoughts, distractions, the different fear. So know that he will try to come against you, and so know how to resist him with the word of God. And religion, religious tradition. People, they may have loved God, but they may have been taught things that are counter. Jesus says, you made the word of God of none effect by your tradition. And so we need to make sure that we do not allow tradition to hinder us in our spiritual walk. Next, page 5, prayer for the local church. As God will quicken scriptures to you, you might just write that scripture passage down in that little block. This is just an outline to pray for all the things regarding the local church. And then the last page, levels of prayer. And I was praying in the spirit one day, and the Lord just gave them to me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, that at the bottom, we can read a confession, we can read something from a book, but that is the basic level. That is a baby Christian level. And if that is all your prayer time is, you're not growing. So just read up the list and see, because we want to get to that higher level. We want to walk with God. We want to be with Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and then God took him. You know, we want to fellowship with God, like the mighty men and women of God in the Word. Okay, well, this is the end of our first session. At the second session, we're going to cover some additional things. I'm going to go into the prayer notebook, and we're going to cover some other areas. So take a 10-minute break, and then we'll see you in a few minutes.